Some folks think Fort Myers, Florida is a place you can relax, but here's a warning about a thing that could cause heart attacks. In a cabin off of Slater Road when I was only 10, that's the first time that I heard it scream. Mama called it sin. People called it skunk ape, half man, and it smelled real bad. It screamed and woke me up that night. Something must have made it mad. In the pre-dawn hours, if you find yourself anywhere near Slater Road, if the hair stands up on the back of your neck, don't say you wasn't told. If you hear a scream or smell something that's turning your insides, it could be a skunk ape, you better run and hide. Day we went looking, gonna see what made that sound. Some fur and blood on a barbed wire fence was the only thing we found. That's the first time that I heard it scream, but I've heard it scream since then. And every time I do, I think of how my mama called it sin. In the pre-dawn hours, if you find yourself anywhere near Slater Road, if the hair stands up on the back of your neck, don't say you wasn't told. If you hear a scream or smell something that's turning your insides, it could be a skunk ape, you'd better run and hide. In the pre-dawn hours, if you find yourself anywhere near Slater Road, if the hair stands up on the back of your neck, don't say you wasn't told. If you hear a scream or smell something that's turning your insides, it could be a skunk ape, you better run and hide.
You just listened to Skunk Ape by Donna Lee. Eaton Records. This is Murky Chronicles 33, the Yowie Edition. I am Thayfullah, the Butcher Dabashi.
And I am Gorgeous Kenny Roberts.
Well, Gorgeous Kenny Roberts, I'm so glad you are back. And I want to give a quick shout out to your son, beautiful Joey Roberts, for filling in last week while you were out for a Skunk Ape edition. Job well done. So how you doing, brother? I thought we lost you for a little bit.
Oh, man, I'm falling to pieces here. doing great, man. I am doing great. We got the band back together. We're back together, man. We got through this COVID times and keep fighting the fight, man, you know?
Yeah, so the inside joke, I had mentioned it, you know, I had it. And got the old China COVID virus, whatever you want to call it. And I remember you're calling me, man, goes, man, I should have wore a mask when I called you. So now you got it. So, yeah. So it's funny. You call me and ask me if I'm sick so you don't catch it through the phone.
That's right. This whole new 5G network sends viruses through the airwaves.
You know what's funny, though? Not getting too much about the shots and stuff, but I don't know which shot it was. Moderna, I don't know if it's Pfizer. One of them, I don't know. There's so many of them out there or whatever. But apparently, I don't know how this works, but that you could actually somehow with Bluetooth, you could see something with the vaccine or some whatever. So it's kind of interesting when you mentioned 5G, it just made me think about that.
That's funny. Yeah, we'll see what comes out down the road, right? Once they finally do their research, reveal the research and what they found. But we're alive and kicking today, so that's all that matters. And, so we're excited to be back.
Yes, and a quick shout out to the truckers out there in Ottawa. My friend Danny, a referee, he gives me updates. And, you know, the truckers out there ain't against the shots or anything like that, but they are against mandates and, you know, for our rights. So I want to send out the love to all the truckers. And if you're listening, keep up the good work, and we're going to pray for you and keep up the good fight.
That's right. Stand up for what you believe in. Absolutely.
Yep. Stand up for your beliefs and your rights and do it peacefully like they are. And, you know, like they say, as one of my sayings, hate don't beat hate, but love has a chance. So what, when you got that virus, did you have the same symptoms as me? Like, you know, your body was sensitive and aching and sweaty?
Yeah, I was cold. I was cold, and then I had like a weird metal taste in my mouth. And I just had no energy. Had a fever. Didn't really have a cough. Had a headache, man. It was like crazy headache. What? Like,
now this is the second time you got it, right?
I would say third, because the first I had a, before COVID supposedly hit the state that December, I was sick with something that they couldn't figure out what it was. And it, to me, it seems like the same thing. So
yeah, that's
my conspiracy story there.
Yeah. Well, that was like me, like about a month or so, I think January, I was the same thing. I was sick. The only reason I didn't drive myself to the hospital because I couldn't get up. And then I finally went to some urgent care, and they kept on saying, it's some kind of virus. They didn't know what it was. And they said, oh, don't worry about it. You know, you'll be fine. Just rest up. It'll let it go through you. A week later, I went back. And then they said I have influenza Z and B or C or whatever and walking pneumonia. And I said, I thought you said I just had some kind of, I don't know. And then I think that was in January, because I think I contracted it when I came back from Saw Wrestling in Indiana or Iowa. Ohio. And then after, it took a few weeks for me to get ready, and then that's when that whole coronavirus, I guess, you know, the first outbreak was in Seattle, I believe, in the nation.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you once again to you and your lovely wife, Tammy. You made my day. My birthday was Monday.
Happy birthday, brother.
Yeah, and you blew me away, man. I want to say thank you and shout out to you. It was from Stone Cold. You got it from DoorDash, right? Stone Cold?
Yeah, or no, Cold Stone.
Stone Cold. Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. So my boy, gorgeous Kenny Roberts and his lovely wife, I get this. I was sitting there on, you know, my recliner, and I get this text from DoorDash, and it was from Kenny and Tammy. I'm like, what the heck? And yeah, I got some. But you told me a Beatrice was going to come to the door, and I was getting excited. I was like, oh. And I was having like fantasy thoughts what Beatrice was going to look like. And you said, oh yeah, they're supposed to come to the door. But anyways, I'm sitting in the living room, look out the front door, and some guy, Jose Juan or something, he was Hispanic, drops it at the front door, and I opened up real quick, then he handed it to me. But those were good 4 flavor of ice cream sandwiches. And I was trying to eat healthy, but you know what? I said, screw it. So I ate 2 right away. My son had one. And I let him have the 4th one, or I would have ate them all up. But I want to say thank you. That made my birthday.
Oh, you're welcome.
And it was good. So I'm a big fan of those sandwiches. And the cookies were scrumptious, too.
That's awesome.
But yeah, and I sent you that picture. me and my fat face and beard eating them.
Hey, man, you only turn 29 once, man. Party up. Eat down those cookies.
Hey, so I can't believe, you know, on the news this morning, they were talking about inflation. So me, my mom and dad and my son went to IHOP, right, on my mom's birthday. Uh-huh. And mine was Monday. Hers was Tuesday. And reason I'm bringing up food, because Sunday we celebrated our two birthday and my nephew Andreas's. So I was eating bad for 3 days. But anyways, so we went to IHOP, and I couldn't believe the bill was like over for breakfast. I just had a nice omelet, veggie omelet, and some toast. And the bill came up to almost $80 for four people, right, at IHOP. So,
wow, so $20 a plate.
Pretty much.
$20 a person. Yeah, I mean, breakfast ain't cheap no more, man.
Well, no, check this out. This one kind of, okay, check this out. So, you know, Red Robin, it's kind of pricey. Not Red Robin, I'm sorry, Red Lobster, right? So right. I had bought my mom a gift certificate to Red Robin, a gift card. So it was me, my dad, my mom again. You know, Red Lobster, sorry.
You're thinking about burgers, aren't you?
Well, no, but red, you know. But check this out. The dinner at Red Lobster, if we wouldn't have got appetizers, was only like $25 more than IHOP.
Wow.
So we spent, you know, with tip and all, probably, I'll say, you know, around $130, it was $125 and some change with a good tip, you know. And so right. I'm thinking, and I was sitting in the car, and I'm like, you know, Red Lobster wasn't that much more than IHOP. I don't know. I was just kind of thinking, wow. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, man, I know restaurants are struggling these times, man. You know, products, you know, expensive and, you know, heck, you know, probably getting napkins and forks and, you know, just whatever they need to stay open is hard to get, man.
Yeah.
You know,
it was funny.
And spendy.
Yeah, it was funny. My son's like, oh, we didn't get straws at Red Lobster. And I was like, oh, they make you ask for them now. But a quick shout out to my mom on her birthday Tuesday. Love you. And
happy birthday to mom.
Yep.
Mom Debashi.
Oh, she loves you just like one of her sons.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, thank you. But yeah,
she has to put up with you. She's got to be off.
But yeah, so thank you for the ice cream sandwiches. So
oh, you're welcome.
What else happened while you were on your COVID vacation?
Not a lot, man. I've watched a lot of TV. There's a few good ones on, if you get Discovery Plus, there's a few Bigfoot shows on there. They're worth kind of checking out. There was one up in Alaska, Alaska Killer Bigfoot, I think it was called. And they never really showed a Bigfoot, but they talked about how the forest was haunted and they were right in this cove, you know, trying to bring back this town, but the town was cursed because of the Bigfoot, or I forget what they called it, but had a different name. But anyways, yeah, that was about it. Watch Yellowstone. That was a good series. I like that one. Power watched the four seasons of that. That was good. But that's about it. How would you do when you're down?
Man, well, for obvious reasons, you know, I watched Kim's Convenience. And I watched all five seasons. It's about an Asian family that had a convenience store. And it is funny because it kind of rang a bell from when I was growing up. Because, you know, I lived in the grocery store business growing up. And, but I binge watched all five seasons. And then come to find out there was supposed to be two more seasons, but it halted because of COVID. So they're not going to have any more seasons. But I heard they may do a spinoff. And then I think you're the one that recommended Secret Obsessions. Was that you?
No.
Okay, you got to watch that. A great movie is about a lady, and I won't tell you what happened, but there was some kind of accident, and she had amnesia, and her husband took her home. I'll leave it at that. That's a Netflix movie, and that's great. And then... Oh, I was watching.
Did you watch the Tinder Swindler yet?
No, that's not. You know, I was going to.
Tinder Swindler. You got to watch that one.
I was going to watch that the night you told me about it. And then I start laying in bed and I fell asleep. But my sister Elizabeth, she was telling me the same thing. She goes, have you watched that, you know, Tinder Swindler? I said, no, Kenny told me about that. But oh,
it could be you. It totally could be you, man.
Well, okay, I won't use any names, right? So check this out. Friend of the family. Well, I won't say no names, so because not too many supposed to know, and I won't say who knows, but I'll just say a friend of the family. So I'll tell you the whole story off air because I don't know if I should say it because
yeah, let's just keep it.
But
what's the deal?
So
the catfish?
No, this person happened to get married, and I won't say what country because they'll give it away, but not in America, right? And this person was married, right? And mm-hmm. when she was married, her husband's grandfather had bought him a house by the water. I mean, they didn't have to pay anything. Maybe I think light or electricity. They took care of the mortgage, but and everything. And apparently, she was talking to a guy online out of the country, far away, halfway across the world, and she ended up divorcing this, you know, and they're still friends, right? So this uh-huh. person that lives halfway across the world start paying her half of her rent, right? And she was supposed uh-huh. to go over there a few times. It didn't work out. But come to find out last week, they end up getting married via Zoom.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
So that's as much as I could tell because...
Okay.
But yeah, so... It was funny because then my sister happened to mention, you know, that Tinder thing on Netflix. And I start laughing. I say, Kenny mentioned it. But I'll give you the whole story off air. But, yeah, it gets wilder than this. But, yeah. So, apparently, that's this person great. Is going to go and see him where he lives. But, yeah, she got married and, you know, via Zoom. Without meeting them in person. So that could be, I told her. Gotcha. And yep. So she should have had, my sister said, everyone's been telling her that she should have had this all filmed and stuff and documented. But anyways, that's about it.
That's crazy. Crazy.
So we got the Yowie and I never heard
you know,
of
so,
Oh, it's
yeah, about, the Yowie. I was just going to say we're doing the month of Bigfoot, huh?
Yes. Yes.
So I missed last week. I did listen to it. So I apologize for not being there. But, yeah, my son filled in. He did a great job.
Beautiful
He's
Joey.
Excited to come back on. Yep.
Yeah. And
filled in too good. I can't have him take my spot again because he just may just take it over.
Yep.
So
shoot, I might.
So the Skunk Ape you guys did last week?
Yes, we did. And this week, I never even heard about the Yowie until you mentioned it to me.
That's a word from Scooby-Doo.
Oh,
you remember
they
always
yes.
say Yowie?
Yes.
Yowie and Zoinks.
Well, I think I seen a meme when I was trying to do some homework on the Yowie. I think, didn't they even do a show about the Yowie? I'm just, unless it was just
could
a meme.
Have. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know what that was, right?
No, what was that?
A Bigfoot call.
Nice.
I found that. What's that guy, Bobo? Or?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, the guy with the black hair?
Yeah, from
the finding Bigfoot Hunters or whatever?
Finding yeah. Yeah, I saw that. And he was on some that's talk hilarious. Show, and I thought about you. And supposedly that's an adult male calling call or something.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought I'd throw that in there.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyways, so what you got on the Oh Yowie?
the Yowie. So, you know, that's the Australian version of Bigfoot. You know, the, you know, some of the, you know, some of the facts, they say, you know, they grow from 5 to 10 foot tall, up to 1,000 pounds. I've seen a few, they live in a particular area of Australia. What is it? Looks like, what was it? Outside of, oh my goodness.
Wollombong?
I've not seen it. North Queensland.
Okay.
Well, that's what this, you know, it was the tribe of North Queensland believes that the existence of this creature. So, it's kind of taken off, you know. I mean, there were some sightings, you know, recent as last year. I didn't get anything for 2022, but not a lot of detail. But, yeah, right. I mean, it's one of those, another one of those things, man. I mean, they say, I even in some of the sites that I looked through, they even say they talk, which is like, I mean, there's what level of communication, they didn't say, you know, but someone had heard it making noise.
I almost downloaded a clip. I was trying to find, like, you know, recent sightings in Australia, and there was one in 2021, late 2021, and they were like forest workers, and I forgot the gist of it, but yeah, they said they had an encounter where what they believe it was. And well, I even was doing research and about them talking. One reported sighting, he was doing the rounds and they said that when he met a Yowie while he was camping back in 77, and he conversed with the creature, and he was quickly able to learn a few words in England, and we spoke for about 2 hours, and he told the Gympie Times, or GYMPIE Times, he said the Yowie first spoke in a language he thought might be Latin. However, he was the only witness of the Yowie who was reported that was speaking to him. So I don't know if he's a crackpot, but you know, anything's possible. I mean, like you said, there are reports that, you know, they maybe talk, they talk.
Yeah. You know, the Aborigines, you know, the natives there, you know, discovered it, and, you know, kind of like, you know, the Native Americans, you know, the Sasquatch, you know, there's a lot of history and folklore on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, as I've been searching, you know, I found so many different ones in different countries, which like crazy. I had no idea, you know. So I'm excited to go down that path this month, you know, with different ones, and hopefully find some good stories.
Well, I texted you yesterday, and they have one in China called, I forgot the name of it, and I figured what a good way. I mean, they're having the games in China, you know.
Was
right
it called
now.
The Chi Chi?
No, it's called the, let me look at my text. It's called the,
well, I like the name Chi-Chi.
Chi-Chi? Well, Chi-Chi means boobies in Spanish.
Exactly. So I'd be okay with a,
oh gosh, what is it? The Yearnin. Yeren.
Yeah, I see. And so on the website, I'm looking at ancient origins, and they're saying it's the Chi Chi in China. So, you know, it goes to show you, you know, who these websites, what is accurate and what's not, or maybe there's two names, like we have Bigfoot and Sasquatch for ours here in the States. Northwest.
Yeah, you might be right. It might be, like you said, Bigfoot and Sasquatch, because I looked off a credible site in China and I was watching a couple documentaries about it. And,
gotcha.
But because, you know, what they were saying, I think me and I was talking with your son, beautiful Joey, that, you know, back in the day when all these continents were together, and that it's believed that that's how, you know, they, the Bigfoot got over here, walking across the continents. And, you know, who knows, when the continents broke, that, you know, some were left here.
That could be. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that they come down in spaceships, man.
Well,
some are ghosts. And I mean, I've heard all kinds of different stuff, you know.
Well, you know, like I was talking last week, I mean, a lot of the stuff in history we come to find out is a bunch of BS, or whoever's teaching history usually won the war, so you get their version.
Right.
And, like, the new religion now is science, because all of science is faith-based, just like religion. And, like,
right,
all the stuff we learned, you know, back, you know, during the Nazi times, when the Nazi left Germany and they all, like, went to Argentina or different countries, NASA was formed by the Nazi scientists, right? I mean, it's a fact. That's how NASA.
Right.
So, with all this propaganda we're realizing is happening now, how do you know? And I'm not saying the Earth is flat or anything like that, but how do we know it's really round? I mean, that's what they're telling us, right? I mean, no, I'm just saying. I mean, how do you know? Like, right now, everything that was challenged by all these scientists, you know, like bones and stuff with dates, now they're finding out on the pyramids that the pyramids are older than they actually are, because they found, you know, new watermarks. So everything,
oh, gotcha.
So everything, you know, is being questioned now. So this is kind of mind-boggling. So Cleopatra is said to be now, her life is closer to the first iPhone than to when the pyramids were actually built. Now, that's kind of mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, like I said, like, I'm not saying the Earth is flat, you know. I mean, I believe it's round. I could be wrong, but like I said, I keep an open mind. So you bring up Bigfoot and spaceships. The government used to rule out, you know, UFOs and stuff. Now they're coming out admitting there are UFOs. So what are we supposed to believe, you know? Everyone should keep an open mind and do their whole homework, and I'll stop on my rant.
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, keep an open mind. That way, you know, you're just not stuck in a one-track way of thinking and be blindsided by reality, possibly.
Reality,
you know?
Exactly. And then that's a good way to keep away from the propaganda. If you see something, do your own homework and believe.
Yep.
What you think, you know. And like I read too, that, you know, people are asked, you know, thinking, are they real or mythical creatures, and they are based off actual real animals. And in Aboriginal oral history has numerous mentions of the Yahoo, a creature who sounds similar to the modern description of a Yowie, and was referred to in the 19th century paper in Are the Australian Apes. So the Aborigines, we're talking about an Australian ape. And then the Australian historian Graham Joyner, in his 77 book, The Hairy Men of the Southeastern Australia, argued that the media confused the Yahoo with a new term, Yowie, a name that's since stuck with the reference to these creatures. However, Joyner also believed that the Yahoo did exist, but likely went extinct at some point in history. He argues that the modern Yowie is a fictional and sightings are not legitimate. So, But I don't know. I've seen Bigfoot. I mean, who knows? I mean, I. Why not? Why can't there be a Yowie out there? I mean, there's going to be naysayers and non-naysayers.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I found a sighting that was back in 2016. The 7-foot Yowie was allegedly spotted in 2016. by a bushwalker in Darling Downs mountain ranges near Toowoomba. The Yowie seemed disinterested in the woman and is said to have sat down in a long in the long grass and ignored her. Crazy.
Wow. He's lucky. So, he's lucky he didn't.
It was a female. Yeah. It was a female. Yeah, absolutely.
A female Yowie? I mean, a female.
Yeah. No, female. Female, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you heard about the Sasquatch or Bigfoot, how they would go and rape Native American women and drag them off. You heard about that, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, I've seen some offspring that could be half human and half Sasquatch.
Yeah, that's crazy. We got one more sighting. Looks like 2017. A Yowie sighting was made 15 to 20 kilometers north of Roma, Australia, in which is at approximately 152 centimeters, which is 5 foot tall, auburn-haired creature. It was standing beside a dead kangaroo on the Carnarvon Highway.
Was he eating it? Did he kill it or what?
It just said it was just standing next to it. It didn't, no details.
Oh, wow.
Kind of a weak sighting, you know, no photos. Again, this ancient origins. I don't know how legit this website is. So check them out. Do your own homework.
Okay.
But that's all I got for the Yowie. I mean, well, I was hoping to get more, but, you know, it is what it is. I think we get a lot more sightings up here in the, you know, Pacific Northwest area for sure.
Well, and I was looking at Bigfoot Sasquatch accounts and sightings. And, well, I think we all know that Washington State had the most. It was like, I don't know, close to 1,000, like 600, 700, 800, 900. I forgot. And then, of course, Idaho, Canada, California, Oregon was close second, you know, pretty much.
Right.
But there was some Midwest, I can't remember what state, I was kind of shocked it was some. It might have even been Texas. I can't remember, but.
The Texas, I think Tennessee gets a bit, don't they?
Yeah.
I swear I saw some of that in the research I was doing. I didn't write down any of that, but I'll bring some more of that to the table next week. On more of the sightings and, you know, the different names in the states. I know we're doing around the world, you know, so I'm looking forward to next week's show as well.
Oh, definitely. Well,
you're picking next week. So what is next week?
You already forgot too many chair shots. Remember, we're going to do China, the Chinese one.
And what was it called again? The Chi Chi?
Okay, Chi and we'll call it Chi Chi right now. I'm hungry for some Chi Chis. The what was it? Damn it. Hold on. It was.
No, you're good. You're
Chirin or Chilin or something. Whatever. The Yeren.
The Yeren.
Yeren. But,
Hey, I got a joke for you.
Okay. Okay.
What is Bigfoot's favorite potato chips?
These nuts.
We're not talking nuts. We're talking chips.
Okay, what?
Three toes.
Doritos?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, Doritos, not three toes.
That was a That was a highlight. That was the highlight of the show last week.
I know.
And I was like, three toes. Three toes or and then it was Doritos. That was funny. But okay.
All right.
How did you like the Skunk Ape song at the beginning of the show?
Well, you know, I bought that cassette back in the day, so I've heard
you
it
did?
Before.
You did?
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, what'd you think? It was kind
of it was great. It was funny, man. It was good.
Okay, so. You know me, I'm trying to step up my producing and stuff, and I found a couple songs I want to play.
All right, bring it.
And the second one's going to lead into something, but I'm going to play the first one, and and then I want us to compare the two. So this first this first one I want to play. This is from the Braddock Public School, and you could check it out on YouTube. It's called the, and I guess it looked like they were like doing different songs for each day or week of like, you know, A, B, C, D, whatever. And they got to the Y, right?
Right.
And this is called the Yalingup, the Yowie Likes to Yodel. A letter of the week. Oh, it is. A letter of the week song for Y. So, okay. Are you ready?
Bring it.
Okay, here we go.
Have you heard the yarn about the Yowie? A hairy creature yowling in the night. In Yakandanda, Yambuck and Yarrandaree, it's a tale to give the youngsters all a fright. With pointy yellow teeth and yellow eyes too, it yells for something yummy with a loud yahoo. But the Yowie over yonder by the yellow box tree is not so scary, you will see. Cause yelling up the Yowie likes to yodel. Yelling up the Yowie likes to yodel.
So what do you think, gorgeous Kenny Roberts?
Wow.
That makes you want to yodel. Okay, I got... Okay, I got this another one, and if I remember, it's not as long, but this is...
Man, that was torture.
But I kind of dug it. I feel like I should have wooden Dutch shoes and do some foot stomping or whatever. But so I got an idea after this next one. All right, this is totally different. Here we go.
Yowie, mistaken and forgotten Yowie. You want to run so free, but Yowie, misunderstood, brute, playful Yowie. You know they won't let you run free. You love, you fight, you conquer all that you see. You are so mighty, you are Yowie. denied truth and dismissive Yahweh, thrusting, thrashing, and coming Yahweh, fearsome beast and man-eater Yahweh, you know you'll always run free. Yahweh, misunderstood, brute, playful Yahweh, you know you'll always run free.
Now, isn't that just beautiful? So you want to hear my, my idea?
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So my idea is...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. My idea is... Remember how we talked about we wanted to do movie reviews?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this song... This last song was called Yahweh. It's a theme song for In Search of Yahweh. And...
So, Yahweh.
You sound just like him. So I did a little research and I found a couple movies. They're shorts. So I want us to watch these two movies. And this first one, In Search of Yahweh. And it's a part
Yahweh.
One. Yeah. And it's only 23 minutes long. And
they said it was a movie.
It is. They're shorts. Movie okay. Shorts. So this one. It, In Search of Yahweh, and you can get it on YouTube.
Yahweh.
And it's about a 1970. It's based in the 1970s, and it's about a number of Yahweh attacks, and it's a movie, but it's kind of in a documentary style too, and. So this is the first one I want us to watch. And I think there's two or three parts. I don't know if they ever finished them or anything, but this is like part one you could get on YouTube. And it's, like I said, 23 minutes long, and you could type in, it's called, Kamhal, Kamhal/Yahweh. And, no, that's the song, theme song from In Search of Yahweh.
I got to sing it one more time. Yahweh.
So, yeah, that was the title of the song. So that was the theme song. So, yeah, just type In Search of Yahweh. And okay. then I was doing more homework and I found another movie short. It's 17 minutes long and you can watch it free. And it's called, the first one's In Search of Yahweh.
You're on YouTube as well?
No, well... It might be, but I found this one on the IMDb, you know,
okay.
moviething.com. Yep. And this one's only 17 minutes long. So, yeah, so the first one's 20.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, let's both watch it and do a review.
Okay.
And these movies are cool. They're totally two different movies, and the productions are totally different. But, yeah, the first one, and if people are listening, they want to check it out too. First one on YouTube is called In Search of Yahweh, and then go to the IMDb.com and type in the Yahweh. And that was, this one I think was, made in 2010 or 2020, something like, 2010. So, okay. Yep.
All right, let's check it out.
So, I guess next week we'll talk about the urine, not urine, as the yellow urine, but the Y-E-R-E-N, I believe that's how you spell, or Chi-Chi. We'll talk about that, and then we're going to have
Chi-Chi Grande.
Yeah. Or Tatas. And I know Pahu Rojo, not what we're talking about, Tata and Chi-Chi's. Yeah, so we're going to movie review In Search of Yahweh on YouTube and then IMDb.com, the Yahweh. So I'm very interested to see your take on it. I think it's going to be fun. Like I said, they're shorts. And yeah, so that's about all I got to say. So what'd you think about that idea?
I can't wait, brother. We'll go over this next week and I'll just tell you like it is.
So what'd you think about the two songs?
They were great, dude. Good stuff.
Yowie. Do Yowie. You sounded just like the guy.
Yowie.
Do it one more time.
Yowie.
Oh, you got an applause.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So what else you got, or should we wrap this up? Because we do have another audio thing to play at the end of our show.
I think that's it for this week. That's all I got for Yowie. So next week, the Chi-Chi's.
Tatas, or the urine, or Y-E-R-E-N, or something like that. The Bigfoot Sasquatch, Yowie, whatever, from China.
China style.
Yeah. Well, I guess you want to give out your...
let's do some shout-outs.
All right.
Let's all right, brother. Well, Spit. Thank you, Lyrical Spit, for making us happen.
Oh, thank you.
If there was no Lyrical Spit, there'd be no Murky Chronicles, so... Keep doing what you do and entertaining people with that. And we'll keep doing what we do on this end.
That's right.
Shout out to Micah over at Savage Reviews. Micah, what's up? He wants to be on this month. And we will get to hear his Bigfoot story. And then Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels. What's up, Vince? All your dog and cat boarding needs. He is the one. And then last but not least, Sweet Little Upholstery.
Their stitching is bitching.
Yes, sir.
I was waiting for you. I was waiting.
Well, I was waiting for you.
Stitching.
I was waiting for you to say it first, but then I said, okay, maybe. Well, that's all right. Their stitching is bitching.
Yes, sir.
All right. So what you got for us? Who's your shout out?
Okay, my shout-outs, I'm the new producer of Tales from the Abyss on all major platforms, so a shout-out to Jay Linderman and Pahu Rojo, great podcast, and they're a huge supporter of the shows, just like we are with theirs.
Yep.
My Lyrical Spit podcast, you can get Lyrical Spit and Murky Chronicles on all major podcast platforms and on lyricalspit.com. And you could get all the links also. And don't forget about our 24-hour hotline at 360-200-8779. Leave a message, and you may just hear yourself on the show. And, of course, I got to give a shout-out to Sweet and Little Poshy once again, the best tagline in the business, because their stitching is bitching.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, we're going to leave you with a treat, and courtesy of Mr. Sinister YouTube channel, 7 Encounters with Bigfoot, a true Sasquatch story.
Nice. Can't wait to listen.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
I might be wrong on that. No, that might be right. Oh, that is right. I am tripping. I thought.
Oh, my.
Anyways, yes, courtesy of Mr.
Yowie.
Courtesy of Mr. Sinister YouTube channel, 7 Encounters with Bigfoot True Sasquatch Stories. Hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. And we'll be back with the stories right after this brief commercial break. And remember, if she has an apple, she has a banana.
Bananas!
These nuts!
Story 1. I live near Lincoln, Illinois. Lincoln is pretty centrally located in central Illinois. It is 30 miles from the state capital, Springfield, 35 miles each from Bloomington Normal, Peoria, and Decatur. It has a population of about 12,000. I am now 50 years old, but when I was a little boy of 3 to 4, me and my family had an encounter with a Salt Creek monster. If you live in central Illinois, that is pronounced crick, not creek. At that time, we lived out in the country, less than a quarter of a mile from Salt Creek. This was 2 miles outside an extremely small little village, Kenny, Illinois. My mother witnessed it cross the road right before the bridge that crossed Salt Creek. My brothers had been down there night fishing and placing out night lines. My mum drove down to the bridge to get the boys and tell them to get back up to the house. It was almost 10 p.m. and they weren't going to be allowed to stay out there all night. One of my brothers told my mum they had seen Bigfoot. Her not believing them told them, "Well, you two boys get in the car and come on home." They told her they had to gather their fishing poles and gear and to please wait while they got it, and they would walk back up to the house. She agreed and waited while they did that, and they started back down the road. One of my brothers was on foot, and one was on his bike. As they took off, she drove on toward a bridge to turn around on a little gravel drive right before the bridge. She had her driver's side window down. As she got to the drive, a horrible smell of garbage mixed with rotten sewage water practically smacked her in the face through the window. In the headlights, a 6-foot-tall man-shaped thing crossed in the headlights from one side of the road to the other. It was light grey and completely hair-covered. It looked directly at the car as it passed by. She said she'll never forget those glowing yellow eyes. She said the hair on her arms, neck and head all stood on end, and she's never felt that scared since. She turned into the drive on the right side of the road and slammed the gear shift into reverse, quickly doing a 3-point turn to go back away from the bridge and back up to the road to the house. As she went toward the house, this thing was running down the road. The boys had been looking back as they went to see where Mum was, and they saw this huge, muscular man-shaped thing running in their direction. They later said they looked back because this thing must have weighed a lot, because they felt it running on the paved country road before they saw it. My brother was on his foot, was scared so bad, he passed my other brother on his bicycle running. Mum was freaked out because it looked like it was going after the boys. She swerved over at the creature and it jumped off the right side of the road down 15 feet into the deep ditch and let out a blood-curdling scream. Everyone got back up to the house and quickly got in, and they locked all the doors and windows. They later said they could hear it walking around the house. It was thudding into the ground and breathing loudly as it went by the windows. My sister and her best friend were sleeping out in a camper that fit into the bed of a pickup truck. They heard something walk up to the camper and circle it 5 or 6 times. They could hear deep, heavy breathing, and the dog that was scared of nothing was under the truck whining. This thing slapped the side of the camper and rattled the doorknob. The two girls stayed completely still and even held their breath. They were trying to be so quiet. After what seemed like forever, but in reality was probably 30 to 40 seconds, they finally heard whatever it was, and they never looked out the window to see, thud off in the direction of Salt Creek. Sometime later, they heard something off in the distance. In the same direction, they heard the thing that only moments before had been circling their camper. Story 2. So back in 2007, I was 8 years old. Me and my grandparents lived up on a mountain in northern Georgia in Floyd County, and our property was against the Bartow County line. It's a warm September night, just a couple of days after my birthday. I'm up in my room playing Call of Duty on my Wii, and my grandpa walks in and asks if I can take the trash out before it gets too cold. I say sure, and pause my game and slip my shoes on. I walk out into the garage and open the garage door to throw the bag into my grandpa's truck. I turn on the light on the outside of the garage and walk to my grandpa's truck. Me being 8 years old at the time, I was afraid of the dark, so I kind of sped walked and I threw the bag and hoped it would make it. However, it did not make it, and I hear the bag land on the ground behind the truck. My head drops and my heart starts to pound for some reason. Like, I know if I go behind the truck, something will get me. You know, the basic 8-year-old paranoia. So I run to the back of the truck, pick up the bag, and toss it inside and turn to go back into the garage. when I see something. The way my driveway is, it turns off a gravel road and curves to the left and up a hill. The hill smooths out a little, but doesn't level off completely. Right where the hill gets less steep, I see a dark figure standing there. In the light coming from the garage, I can just make out its silhouette. It appears to be a person at first, but then my eyes adjust on it, and I can vaguely make out hair covering its entire body. I stand there frozen with fear, like if I turn my back, it's going to sprint up and get me. So I hesitantly walk backwards towards the garage while keeping my eyes on it. And it seems that every step I take, it takes one also. I finally reach the hole where the garage door is placed and run as fast as I can inside. When I get inside, I run into the living room for my grandpa and say, "Grandpa, get the gun, there's something in the driveway. It's big and it's walking on 2 feet. I don't know what it is, but it scares me." So my grandpa gets the gun and we go outside on the front porch, which is a good 40 yards closer to the part of the hill I saw it at, and it's not there. My grandpa says, "Are you sure you saw something?" I don't say anything. I just nod. He drops the gun from his shoulder and says, "Come on. You haven't put a new trash bag in the trash can yet." We both turn around and walk back inside. Several hours go by and nothing else happens, until about 1 a.m. I wake up from having a dream of what I saw. I lay in my bed and look to my curtain windows, and can see that the front porch light is on. I find that safer because it acts as a sort of nightlight for me. So I'm laying there, looking at my window, when I see a huge shadow walk right in front of my window on the outside. And I mean huge. The window sat about 2 feet off the ground, was about 4 foot tall, and was about 2.5 feet from the ceiling. And this thing was tall enough to cast a shadow big enough to where it looked like someone was sliding a wall past the window. I could hear the boards creaking out on the front porch, and can see how wide this thing was from a side view. This thing, whatever it was at least 2 feet wide from the side. And it was absolutely huge. I didn't want to go and get my grandparents because I didn't want them to get mad for me waking them up at 1 a.m. and for them to come out and see nothing. So I just watched this thing walk back and forth past my window. Before too long, I fell asleep again. Fast forward to the summer between my sophomore and junior year in high school. I had moved off the mountain, but was still going to the same school. Anyway, a week before school got out, me and my best friend Kevin thought it might be a good idea to go up to the mountain and see if we could find what I saw. Without hesitation, I jumped at the opportunity and said, "Hell yeah, let's go." So the following weekend, after school ended, I met up with him and we bought some camping gear along with some food and a rifle. I tell him we can camp out at the house I saw this thing at, and he agreed it was the best place to start. So we make it to the night and he's like, "Yo, let's go out and walk around." I say okay, and we both get out of the tent. I instantly felt like I was being watched. I shouldered the rifle and felt the adrenaline filling my veins. Kevin puts his hand on the barrel and lowers the end of the gun to the ground. "Don't do that. You'll make me nervous." So we start walking around the woods. We find some small game paths and hear a few noises, but we don't find anything. We both look at each other and decide it's not worth it. So we start walking back to the tent, which will take at least 30 minutes. On our way back, we can hear things in the woods that sounded like tree knocks and whoops. We get about 100 yards from the property we're camping out on, and suddenly a rock flies through the woods and lands within 10 feet of me and Kevin. Then it's like it just unloaded on us. Rocks were landing all around us with not much time between impact. We hear all sorts of whoops and hollers coming from different directions, almost like we were being surrounded. I tell Kevin to run, and I'll be right behind him. We start running towards the property and I hear trees snapping behind us. I stop for a split second, raise the gun and fire a shot into the air. Then all goes silent. Kevin stops just in the clearing of the property and looks back at me. I look back at him and we both run onto the property and book it out of there as fast as the pickup truck we drove will take us. I haven't been back there since. Story 3. I thought I'd share one of my experiences. I grew up in Oregon. As most Oregonians do, we did a lot of camping. One particular trip, we were at our favourite site on the east side of Hills Creek Reservoir. I don't remember the exact date, but I was probably 14 or 15 years old, so it was around 1999. My tent was fairly close to the water, maybe 40 feet back, while my parents' tent with my younger siblings were about 200 feet further back into the woods. I was maybe 15 feet from the fire, and our kitchen was set up about 30 feet west of me on the raised area. Everyone went to bed, and I stayed up around an hour longer with my dog. We eventually went to bed. I get all cozy, and my dog perks up with alert. I wasn't too worried, as I could hear the frogs and crickets. Then, everything went dead silent. Frogs and crickets stopped. I could hear something coming through the woods from the direction of the lake. It sounded large. I thought maybe it was a bear or deer. My dog starts growling, and I do my best to keep her quiet. The walking sound gets to the raised area of the camp where the kitchen is. I hear some stuff move around. I manage to slowly unzip part of the tent window. It's very dark, not much of a moon, and the fire was dying. But I could vaguely see something. Then, a very large figure steps down from the raised area, about a 4 to 5 foot drop, and walks directly towards my tent. My heart is pounding. Dog starts shaking while growling. Thankfully, not a bark is released. The figure moves past my tent within 5 to 6 feet and makes its way up the road back through the woods with huge, broad steps, each with a deep thump. 10 minutes later, the frogs and crickets come back. Story 4. Recently, I have gone from marginally interested in the topic of Bigfoot to really taking a deep look into this phenomena. For whatever reason, this topic really has captured me. One of the most fascinating things is when you hear a person state after an encounter how these weird little things that they had previously brushed off, an acorn thrown at them, etc., begin to make more sense. Something similar is happening to me, in that two separate experiences I've had in my life have started to make much more sense now. What follows is one of those experiences, as the other I have shared previously on another sub. This was around 2007, and at the time I owned a small 3-acre parcel next to the Manistee National Forest in Michigan's Lower Peninsula. I should mention the county in which this took place is easily one of the most rural and remote counties in the Lower Peninsula. The property was seldom visited, so my buddies and I decided to camp there one weekend to check out the fishing nearby. At the time, there were no houses or cabins built around the lot. The property was densely wooded, and so we camped in a small clearing. Pretty uneventful, typical camping, and around 11 p.m. turned in, each in our own tents. Now, I have to share I'm an extremely light sleeper, and it's sounds that will wake me up. So it's often hard for me to fall asleep with the normal camping sounds, insects, etc. But I was finally able to. At some time in the night, it was well after midnight, I know that, I remember waking up because all the sounds I fell asleep to were silent. Completely silent. I laid there for a few minutes, half out of it, when I hear footsteps coming in from the woods behind me. They were very definite, but I could tell they were trying to be quiet. They only stayed for a few minutes, walked around my tent, and then walked off. I thought it was one of my buddies going to take a leak, and so I waited for the zipper sound of them getting back into their tent. But it never happened. The next day, having breakfast around the fire, I mentioned the footsteps, and of course, no one heard them. And also, no one had left their tent that night. We spoke a bit about what it could have been. For myself, I was concerned it was a bear. But they said there was no way a bear would be that quiet, and nothing was touched at the camp. Their consensus was a deer, but I remember saying it sounded two-legged, and not a small-sized foot. It didn't feel like a hoof, but a longer, more sustained footfall. My one friend kindly just said I was no tracker, and it was some animal and to just drop it. And that was it for that day. I dropped it too, just being relieved it was not a bear. Looking back, it's so funny because that one friend who was the most stirred up made some excuse about his ten leaking and slept in his truck that night. I didn't even question it. That second night, the footsteps came back, did their little cautious lap, and left back into the forest. I swear whatever it was on two legs, and the same longer duration footfall sounds. It never occurred to me that it was anything else, that I just misinterpreted the sound of a typical animal. This is the story of my first encounter. In 1974, my parents moved my little brother and I from Greater Detroit all the way up north to the, very at the time, rural town of Elk Rapids. My father brought a small roadside motel, and he and my mum made a real go at it. This place was magical for me as a five-year-old. Snakes, turtles, frogs. All of this natural world was new to me. In looking back, I'm amazed at how much land my parents owned due to them also owning some frontage on Lake Michigan as part of the motel grounds. I mention this due to the fact that the beach itself was set far back, maybe 0.25 miles behind the motel with thick, dense forest in between. I can't stress enough for those of you who are familiar with what this area is like now. In the mid-70s, it was really away from it all. So much so that my dad learned that there was a Native American family living on his land in the forest and that they needed access to the handwell pump in the barn in order to have water, which he gladly allowed to continue. In looking back, it must have been quite an adjustment for he and my mother also. So it was during one of those summer nights, all the windows open, breeze blowing, and the curtains billowing in, that I shot out of bed. Again, I was five at the time, and still cannot say what got me up in the middle of the night. It was definitely late, and everyone was sound asleep, and the whole place was dead silent. I remember being frightened, and I remember that I had to get to my parents' room as quickly and quietly as possible. This is where my memory is more acute. I remember that my parents' bedroom window was open. I remember the sheer curtains billowing in the breeze. I stood at the doorway to their room looking at my parents sleeping, then going back to the window. I remember their window faced the courtyard for the motel, and there was light coming from the window, either from the yard lights in the courtyard or the moon. I remember the light so vividly. It was then that someone or something came to the open window and was looking in at me. I could not see its face. It was completely blacked out in silhouette. All I could see was the halo of long hair. Hair everywhere. Not just its head. All lit up by the light behind it. The sight of it broke me from my spell, and I crossed the room and dove in between my parents. I laid there, being as quiet as possible, knowing that it watched me run across the room. There was no sound. I remember my dad lying on his side like a wall between me and whatever it was at the window. I remember lifting my head to peek over a few times, and each time it was still there, staring in the window. At some point, I must have fallen asleep. That experience was a turning point for me, and not in the best way, because now that I'm 50 years old and I'm no longer embarrassed, from then on, I really struggled to sleep on my own and was always trying to sneak in my parents' bed. Well into grade school, I really dreaded going to bed, even when my brother and I shared a room. Looking back, I wish I would have said something to them about that in the moment, but what would they have done? It was years later, as an adult, when my cousins asked me to tell them that story again at a family function, that my mother, my father had already passed, overheard and asked me to tell her about it. I could see in her eyes that lots of pieces fell into place. As I write this and think about that moment when I stood at my parents' door watching the window, I realize how I may have been expecting it to appear there. Maybe I saw it at my bedroom window and thought it might follow me. Story 5. I've only shared this experience with a few people in the years since it happened. It was the first Tuesday of the Pennsylvania deer rifle season, December 3rd, 2013. I've always been an avid hunter, and I would wake up very early in the morning to get into the woods before daylight. I would have been in the woods at 4:30 in the morning. Having to hunt on state game lands meant beating other people into the woods to get a decent spot. When I got into the parking area around 4:15 a.m, no one else was there. So I walked into the woods, not using a flashlight, only walking by moonlight. I walked through a field into the tree line and started on the path to my spot. I came to the intersection in the path. One way went left and down the mountain, the other way went right. I went right because my spot was on the other side. Roughly 50 yards after making the right-hand turn, I smelled what I could only describe as hot garbage. It hit me in the face, hot dumpster juice in the middle of August. So I stopped dead, turned on my flashlight expecting to see piles of garbage. Nothing. No garbage. Nothing dead. Just hot garbage smell. Keep in mind this is in December. It's cold out. High 20s to low 30s. So even if there was garbage, it wouldn't smell that bad. So I kind of thought nothing of it. I followed the path to my spot, which was down over the ridge from the garbage smell. Roughly maybe 40 feet down, that leads to a grass field where I would sit. I set up my seat, get settled in for about 2 minutes. That's when the rocks started coming down the ridge. First rock startled me, causing me to turn on my light again, scanning the field hoping to see the eye reflection of a deer, but nothing was there. I sat back down. Another rock comes down the ridge. This time I stand up to go into the grass field with a flashlight and the pistol that I carry while hunting. Scanned again. Nothing. Purposely waited in the field for about 5 minutes. Now I'm getting angry, assuming another hunter is messing with me because I'm in their spot. I sit down again. The third rock, sounding larger than the others, comes tumbling down the ridge. I don't get up this time. Not 2 minutes after that, another rock, not tumbled, but sounded as if it was thrown off the ridge and landed in the field. Now I'm pissed. I gathered up my gear and started back up the trail to the ridge. I get to the top of the ridge, scanning with my light the whole time. Nothing. No eyes. No other hunter. I get to the spot where I smell the hot garbage. Nothing. The smell is gone. Finally, it clicked in my head. It may not have been another person. Possibly something else. I've heard a lot of other stories about people's Bigfoot experiences, a lot of which remark about how bad they smell. Screw this. I all but run out of the woods. And to top it off, no other vehicles were in the parking area when I got out of the woods. This took place in Pennsylvania State, Gamelands 229, outside of Tremont in Schuylkill County. I later come to find out that a co-worker of mine had actually seen a bipedal cross in front of his car within 2 miles of location of my experience. So maybe they're real. I don't know. But I definitely had an experience that I won't forget. Story 6. I've seen a question on here asking about a positive encounter, and I have one I would like to share, though it may not be what I thought. About 20 years ago, after I graduated high school, I used to run traps to make extra money in the wintertime. Since I was pregnant with my daughter, any sort of extra income was necessary, since trapping is frowned upon, oddly. Anyway, my father always told me about the creek I trapped in as being quite strange. We would always walk the creek to collect arrowheads and look for other Shawnee relics. So he would always tell me about the Shawnee Native American tribe and their history and folklore. It was a very special spot to us. So when I began trapping, my father would tell me to have respect for the wildlife. Don't litter, kill humanely, and don't kill what doesn't need to be killed. So I built a great deal of appreciation to life, which led to my career in conservation. About once a week, while walking up the creek, I would hear whistling, like a human but in random patterns. And that would be along with a smell of sulfur and rotten eggs, to which my dad told me was most likely a Bigfoot or skunk ape and sightings that occurred as long as he could remember in our area. Then, one time, I was scanning down the tree line with my binoculars to check to see if I had any coyotes and foxes in my traps to save me the walking time. I see a fairly medium-sized tree swaying dramatically a little past the tree line. So, I headed over there with my 2-2, hoping to sneak up on a bobcat or any animal that was medium-sized my 2-2 could kill with a headshot. About a quarter of the way to the tree line, the swaying stopped, and I didn't see anything. But at least two of whatever it was began whistling and whooping further back in the forest. I continued to head up the creek, and it always stays somewhat behind me at a distance, but never left. That was fairly interesting. Then one day, sadly, an oil fracking company purchased most of the land. They still gave me permission to trap, but they had a few accidents where the water got so damn nasty it killed just about everything. It broke my heart to see beavers, muskrats, and some raccoons floating down the creek every time I went. But after they had installed their rigs and cleared some forest, things got a little hostile. One day, running traps, almost all of my traps had been ruined, bent, beaten, and broken. The remaining animals I caught were either stolen, ripped from the trap with their foot or leg still attached, and I even found a coyote that had been messed up bad. Fur torn, broken lower jaw, and head beaten in. I felt like this was in retaliation to what the oil company had done, and I was the one being blamed. But this is positive. A few months afterwards, I would go to the store twice a week and buy a variety of apples, pears, and a mixture of meat from carcasses I had skinned, put it in a basket, and leave it in the forest hoping whatever it was would get it before anything else. Sometimes the basket would disappear, but always in 2 days, everything was gone. One day, I believe it left me a present in return. Next to where I dropped off the basket was about 100+ small sticks stacked very neatly, about 20 acorns and a deer antler. It made me feel very happy. I do hope that I did help this creature out in its very sad moment of its life. Though it may have been everything but a Bigfoot or skunk ape, because I never physically saw it, or any tracks in the creek bed, but all of my occurrences happened in the woods along the creek, so I don't really know. So still to this day, 20 years later, I think of it from time to time, and I don't see a reason people should be afraid of them. It was a sad but positive 2 winter seasons with it. Even if it was an animal I didn't recognize, I hoped I helped. Story 7. Hi, my name is Ruben, and I am from Mumbai, India. I first heard about Bigfoot as a kid watching National Geographic. I always knew about Yetis residing in deep Himalayan hills and wondered about any Bigfoots possibly living in India. So, what I am about to tell you was a shocker for me when I heard it. My family had a New Year's Day gathering and all my cousins had come over for lunch. We usually spoke about sports, politics, but that was too boring after a while, so I decided to tell my cousins about unknown creatures like Loch Ness Monster, Dogman, etc. And I started off by telling them about Bigfoot and how the legend of Bigfoot runs wild among Americans and many people throughout the world. I was not prepared for what was going to happen next. My dad and grandpa overheard the conversation and came to my room and stood in utter disbelief that I knew about Bigfoots. And I realized just by looking at their eyes, they knew more about it than I had ever read or seen. In utter shock, my dad started telling me about a story of his childhood when he was around 12 years old, along with my grandpa, that he had encountered something which defied belief. I still have tears in my eyes while I write this, as this was a surreal moment for me to know that these creatures do exist here in India as well. On a cold winter's evening around 7 o'clock in 1972, my grandpa and my dad were coming back from church. The road that led to the house had acres of sugarcane farms, with tall bushes on both sides of the road. They were on a 110cc scooter, which could be converted to a bicycle if it ever ran out of fuel, and this came in handy as they lived in the countryside far away from town. While they were passing by a huge banyan tree, something just ran out of the sugarcane farm on the left and crossed the road. This thing was 20 to 25 feet away. My grandpa described it as a huge 8 to 9 foot hairy ape-like creature with dark black fur. The creature was on 2 legs, almost like a gorilla who had learnt to walk like a man. The creature crossed the road in an instant and went to the other side of the road and saw my dad and grandpa. At that very moment, my dad, out of fear, screamed, looking at this hairy creature with massive pecs and shoulders. This led the creature to run away in the field. The speed at which the creature ran was absolutely shocking, and my granddad knew this low-powered bike wouldn't do any good if the creature decided to pursue them. Thankfully, this creature decided to leave them alone, and was never seen again. This was the encounter that changed their life and raised their curiosity in this subject. They never spoke of it in fear of being ridiculed, but when they saw me speak about Bigfoots, they knew they were not alone and many people in the world had experienced what they had seen. My dad even went on to say about a man he knew who filmed one of these creatures, but never knew what they were called and thought it was some kind of an ape. People in India would generally not know about such cryptids. I saw the truth of the story in my grandpa's eyes, and I've never felt such a strong conviction to tell a story like this. I know this may sound weird, but there are accounts of Bigfoot encounters in deep rural India. I don't know what was the thing that my granddad and dad saw, but I am sure it was certainly not a gorilla walking on 2 feet.
Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.
Be sure to check out Murky Chronicles, drops every Friday, hosted by yours truly, Theyfala, the Butcher Dobashi, and Kenny Roberts. With guests, stories, news on unexplained and bizarre happenings, you can listen on your favorite podcast platforms or just go to lyricalspit.com for the latest shows and links.